Your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Man, what a great song. Enjoyed both all the music this evening, and after this morning's message, I have a hopefully more devotional type encouraging message tonight, and I hope that tomorrow will be a good resting day for everyone who has the day off. Most of you do. Some of you who work in the medical field and other places will be praying for you. 1 Peter chapter 5. In Mark, and we're not going to turn there, but in Mark chapter 9, we see the account of Jesus Christ casting out a demon. And in that particular account, the man comes to Jesus and says, "Master, I've brought to you my son who is dumb with a spirit." And he said, "I brought him unto your disciples, and they were not able to cast him out. They were not able to heal him." And Jesus goes on to rebuke his disciples and tell them about and question their faith. And he said to the man who had the son with the dumb spirit, he said to him, I'm going to quote it here, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." Straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe." And then added, "Help mine unbelief. Help mine unbelief." I don't know about you, but sometimes I just cry out to the Lord, Lord, I need more faith. I need more faith. And we preached a couple of weeks ago on that faith is enough, or that grace is enough. Tonight is the benefits of adversity. The benefits of adversity. It's kind of an oxymoron, isn't it? That adversity would benefit us. But it does. We know that. Being raised in church, I know that. I've realized the biblical principles. But just like this man who brought the son, and the disciples were unable to heal him, and Jesus questioned his faith, sometimes we need to cry out and humble ourselves and say, "Lord, help my unbelief." We preached this last year on the attributes of God and reminding ourselves that so many times our view of God is so wrong. We have a tendency to shape God into our own fashion and make him out to be a middle class guy, and we have a tendency to fashion him under our own likeness. But can I tell you, God is much bigger than anything that you can imagine. God is transcendent. God is all knowing. God is self sufficient. God is beyond anything we can think or imagine. God is humongous. God is humongous. And sometimes our faith is lacking. But at this example, we see the example that sometimes when you come to God and just say, "Lord, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief." When you're going through adversity, when you're going through trials, when you're going through temptations, when you face these difficulties, when we face the difficulties, we need to just humble ourselves before God and cry out, "Lord, help my unbelief." I'm glad I'm saved by grace tonight, aren't you? It's grace that saves us, and it's grace by which we live. I want to remind you again tonight that grace is enough. In other words, as you go throughout your day, it's the grace of God that will empower you to live the Christian life. It's the grace of God will empower you to live through adversity, to live through the trials. Jesus said, "In this world you shall have tribulation." And so we know that it's a part of life. Again, and we talked about, Brother Wiggins was talking about, I'd much rather have some rain than have no water. But with rain comes storms. With rain comes wind. And man, a wind came through our house even last night, though we didn't get much rain. And that 50-mile-an-hour, 6-mile-an-hour wind come through there, it's amazing, isn't it? Well, with growth, with going forward in life, adversity is just part of it. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. Look with me in verse 6. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God." I love how Peter describes it. The mighty hand of God, "that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober." That means be attentive. "Be vigilant. For your adversary, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." almost stop and say, you're not alone. We talked about last time, a couple weeks ago, we talked about that verse that talks about that says that all these problems or all these trials, all these temptations, such as are common to man. And I used the illustration last time that when couples come to my office for marital counseling, it's amazing how many of them have the same problems. But yet they think their problem's so unique. But more often than not, 99% of the time it's not. We all face, most of the time, face the same difficulties, face the same problems. That's what it's saying. Resisting, steadfast, knowing that the same affliction are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect. That word perfect means complete. Establish, strengthen, I love this one, settle you. Settle you. Let's pray. Lord, bless tonight. Bless the reading of your word. Help us tonight to see the benefits of adversity. Lord, we'll thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All of us as kids, and most of us anyway, as kids, we're in biology, either in junior high or high school. In my particular instance, it was in junior high. And junior high in the country for us was 6th, 7th, 8th grade. Now they call it middle school or something. We never had middle school. I don't know what that is. But I remember my 8th grade science class. This is the same science class that, thank the Lord, was a very godly man and a very godly teacher. And he was influential in my life. We lived out in the country, and he lived across the highway from us. And out in the country, that means it was pretty close. That means they were about a mile away. And I remember again in the back of his classroom, the golden rule was hung on the wall. He was just a good man. He was the one that we did the caterpillar experiment with. You know, you get the little bush and you got the little cocoon on it, and you get to watch the whole process. And as a little kid, you're just amazed at how that little cocoon has something inside of it, and then all of a sudden it begins to break forth. And it was my science teacher began to describe to us and how this worked and how this came about. And he was the one that warned us about not opening up the cocoon, because you can't, one of the important parts about the butterfly was that he had to get himself out of the cocoon because it strengthened him, strengthened his wings and so forth. In other words, he had to fight through the adversity in order to fly. It's a great illustration. Also, he changed transformation took place. It's amazing. It's a great illustration of what happens to us as Christians. But it is an amazing illustration of adversity as well. That the butterfly has to work its way through that cocoon. He has to fight to get out of the cocoon in order to fly. In order to fly. If you help him out, he's not going to fly. He'll not survive. Adversity is for our benefit. I've got the sermon in the works. I'm still working on it. But the Old Testament, Jesus tells those there to Joshua that God does all things for our good. And Romans chapter 8 says it well, but it also says it in the Old Testament that God always has our best interest in mind, and that diversity is a part of life, and it either embitters us or makes us better. And it's really up to you to decide. Adversity serves to help us depend upon God. Adversity serves to help us depend upon God. Paul said, when we are weak, then he is strong. We need to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. I think the very first thing, and we preached this before, but just a reminder, the first thing in adversity is a self-examination. I have people all the time ask me, why is this happening to me, or what should I do? And the first thing you should do going through adversity is examine yourselves. We understand and know that God does judge sin. And if there's sin in one's life, then it needs to be checked out, and one needs to examine oneself to make sure that God is not using this particular trial or this particular adversity to help us see our sin for what it is and get that taken care of, right? Everybody with me? Everybody awake tonight? By the way, that thing outside that's up in the sky, that's a sun. Just letting y'all know. I wanted to tell some stories about Kenny Webster tonight. So most of the time when we have people from my childhood join our church or come and be a part of our church, I'm always scared that they'll tell you guys stories about us growing up. This is the opposite. I have more stories about Kenny Webster than he has about me. A lot more. And he better be careful. Adversity. Adversity either embitters us or makes us better. And we understand and know that our view of God is so small. And so when we come to adversity, we need to examine ourselves. We need to examine ourselves. Check out the sin in our life. Is there sin in my life? Is there sin in my life? Look at verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. That He may exalt you in due time. And it's coming before God, understanding that when we are weak, He is strong. It's bringing ourselves, making ourselves accountable to Him in that trial, in that testing. By the way, as we go through that trial, we are testimony to others. I said this last time too. You can't have a testimony without a test. And so if we are to be a testimony to those around us, that testimony is built, is brought about through adversity, through trials. It also, when we go through adversity, humbles us and brings about in our life a better prayer life. Or at least it ought to as Christians. And if you're going through a trial, if you're going through a testing, if you're experiencing adversity, whatever it may be, then humble yourselves before God, go to Him in prayer, and it will encourage your prayer life. I believe also it'll bring about comfort in your heart as you pray to the Lord. And it will affect you in ways you really don't comprehend many times. I've seen in my own life how that God could be such a blessing in adversity that I can be a witness to other people. It encourages me to witness to others through the testimony or through that adversity. I don't know how many times when I've gone through something or I've experienced something that someone else has got a blessing out of it and came and asked me about it, and I was able to witness to them and be an encouragement to them. So it's a good way to be a testimony to someone else. It's a good way to again, reunite or reignite our prayer life, to reignite our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Adversity ought to bring us and humble us before the Lord. Ought to bring us. Really, the product of self-examination is prayer. The product of self-examination is being a witness to those around us. It is a product of a process of taking account and who we are and who God is and learning to trust Him. Trust Him. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Can I remind you tonight that God's hand is mighty? That my God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing that my God can't do. I won't sing the whole thing. God is so big. God is mighty. Therefore, we are to humble ourselves before Him, that He may exalt you in due time. He will exalt us. He will exalt us. There's several verses. James chapter 4, verse 10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. And He shall lift you up. As we go to God with a humble, broken, and contrite heart, He will exalt us. He will lift us up. What does it say there? In due time. In His time. See, we don't like God's timetable. I go to the microwave, I put in a chicken chimichanga from Sam's, which are amazing. And they come in a box like of 12 for like $8 or something ridiculous like that. You buy them for like 25. No, it's not quite that cheap anymore, but cheap. And I put them in there, I put them two at a time, and you heat them up. And they're amazing. They're amazing. I want instant gratification. I want burritos now. Give them to me. You know what I want to buy? I want to buy one of them little ovens that Subway has for my house. Put them in there, heats it up in 30 seconds. But we live in that society, no matter what we say. And I know we use this illustration all the time, but it's such a good one. We live in a microwave society. We live in Instagram. I mean, if my computer's just a little slow, I go crazy. And I start using my extension on my phone to Brother Lattice saying, somebody do something. I mean, my computer was, it got the blue screen of death a couple of times. And they just kept fixing it. And it was so slow, it was unbelievable. But I'm always the last one to get a computer, and I'm not complaining because I'm the one that uses the least around here. All these other staff members, I'll just say it, one of them young guys, you know, except for Brother Cox. He's not here, so we'll pick on him. So I'm usually the last one to get one. Well, finally, it came down to it. I need something, so I got another hand-me-down, but it's a lot faster. Woohoo! I want now. I want to click on a button and it come up. And the internet around here is slow today. It is slow. Man, good. It needs to come up. You know, we're that way. That comes around in our relationships with each other. And it certainly shows up in our relationship with God. As we humble ourselves before Him, we need to remember, yes, He's mighty and yes, He's big. And He can handle anything that we have. He can handle any problem that we have, any adversity that we have. But remember, He relieves the pressure in His time. He takes care of it in His time. By the way, He's never late. He's never early. He's always on time. Because He alone can see what lies beyond the bend. I don't know what's around the corner, but He does. Let's be reminded of that tonight. That's all you walk away with tonight. That remind ourselves that God knows everything. And that you are His child. I am His child. I'm a son of God. And that He cares for me. Cast all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. We serve a personal God who cares about us, who understands by way of Jesus Christ, who experienced all things like we are, yet without sin. We must trust Him. Trust the mighty hand of God. Trust the caring God that we serve. I'm glad I don't serve a vengeful God. In other words, when we act up, and God does use adversity to chasten us, it's not because He's being vengeful. When I chasten my children, I'm not being vengeful. I'm not seeking revenge against my own kids. God doesn't do that either. God's not out to get you. God loves you. You are His child. He wants the best for you. If you pray to Him, He's not going to give you a stone. If you pray to Him, He's not going to give you a snake. He's going to give you bread. He's going to supply your needs. He loves you tonight. He cares for you. Cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Remember in this self-examination that we are nothing, that we're vulnerable, that we are weak vessels, that we are earthen vessels. We're just simply clay pots. And we have an enemy that is subtle. We have an enemy that's a roaring lion, verse 8, walking about seeking whom he may devour. Listen, and it says there in verse 8 that troubles are common. The same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. They're common to man. The devil attacks us. He hates us. He attacks us physically, mentally, emotionally. The trials are his tools, especially the tool of discouragement. I think that's probably, if not the biggest tool in the old tool chest of Mr. Satan. Man, if he can get you discouraged, he can cause a ton of other problems in your life. By the way, discouragement is a sin. And that's when we need to humble ourselves before God. And remember, the devil hates us and he's out to get us. And you know, we talk about the three different enemies that we face. The world, Satan, and the flesh. And we must remember that we are at war today. And Satan, if he can, he'll attack you, get you down. He doesn't want you as a dad to succeed. He doesn't want to see mom succeed. He doesn't want to see you be good parents. He doesn't want to see your marriage succeed. He doesn't want you to stay in church. He doesn't want you to be consistent in your job. He doesn't want any of those things. He's totally out to get you. Totally out to take you down. Do you believe he's real tonight? Amen, I do. Absolutely. If you believe the Lord's real, you got to believe the devil's real. He created him. And we must understand that we are vulnerable. We are vulnerable. We are vulnerable. The devil knows he can't have us. We're saved. We're born again. He can't have us, but he sure can tempt us. And he sure can injure us. And he can make us stumble. By the way, when others stumble, don't kick them while they're down. Lift a brother up. Lift a sister up. Help them. Encourage them. By the way, when you stumble, might as well pray. You're already down there. You're already down there. Use it and pray. Pray. Take the time to pray. Pray to the Lord. Struggles and these diversities are not senseless. We know that from Romans chapter 8, that God is using the adversities and God is using those testings to conform us into the image of Jesus Christ. That we are, that He's the potter, we're the clay, He's molding us, and He's trying us in the fire and getting the dross out. We're a diamond and He's chipping away at us. Whatever illustration and whatever biblical principle you want to use, adversity is not bad. We say, preacher, you can't say it. Don't say it. Don't say adversity is good. Don't say it. Adversity is good. You got to have it. We were talking about today at lunch. I used to lift weights. And I used to be in shape. I'm still in shape, but now it's round, right? I enjoy making fun of myself, so anyway. But if you're going to build muscles, you've got to work at it. You've got to go through some struggles to live, to practice, to gain muscle and eat certain things and do all those things in order to grow, in order to get bigger, in order to gain more muscle. There's no victory without, there's no crown without the work that goes with it. Struggles are not senseless. Philippians, that we've been studying on Sunday night, we'll get back to it. God's working all things together for good, Romans chapter 8. But also He's working in us, both the will and to do His good pleasure. It's God working in us. And God's at work in us. And He works in our pain. And He works in our struggles. And He works to prepare us. One day He will complete the work. One day the Lord will return. But He's working in us. And He works in our pain. Remember, David defeated the lion before he defeated Goliath. David defeated the bear before he defeated Goliath. Every step you take in your adversity, every step you take in your trial, every step you take in that particular temptation, build your faith. Lord, help my unbelief. I know how I can help your unbelief. It's stepping stones. As you face small trials, as you face the next trial, as you face the next trial, we grow. I never was a runner. I don't like to run from here to that glass door back there. But my brother was, and probably still could run a little bit, but he's a sissy. And I can remember going out with him a few times, and my sister too. My sister was a terrific long-distance runner. And why in the world I'm the oddball? I'm a short-distance guy. But I can remember going out, especially trying to get ready for football, and running a mile or two with my brother or with my sister. And they just running off, leaving me, of course. But I got to where I could run a mile pretty good without stopping. Mile and a half. That's about it. I couldn't. But it would grow. I would get better at it as I worked at it. Can I just tell you again? God grows our faith. And the training ground is adversity. The training ground is adversity. God cares for you tonight. And through your adversity, He will grow you. He will conform you to the image of His Son. No matter what you may be facing, or what you have faced, or what you will face, God will increase your faith. If you'll simply humble yourself before Him. We cannot see tomorrow. And we cannot see what lies beyond the bend. We must pray to be established. Look there again. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. By the way, against the devil we fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Use the sword of the Spirit. And when you believe the devil's after you, man, quote the Scripture to him when he tempts you. Resist him. But understand, verse 9, that the affliction or the adversity you're going through is common that your brothers and sisters have gone through it as well. Verse 10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered, what? A while. It's not going to be forever. It's not going to be forever. He's just trying to get the good stuff out of you. Right? You make tea, you boil it. That's how I say boil. You boil it. At the very end, at least I do. I don't know that my wife, I don't watch her make tea, but there at the very end, I take the tea bag and I take a spoon or something and I squish it. I want my tea as strong as possible. Not too strong, but strong as possible. Squish it. Sometimes the Lord's just squishing us to get the good stuff out of us. A while, not forever. Again, God has His hand on the thermostat. He's never early. He's never late. I'll give you one other cliche, but I love this one. It's a Dr. Barber quote. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing occurs to God? God's not surprised by your adversity. God knows exactly what's going on in your life. He says there, make you perfect. That word perfect means complete you. It means complete you. He's completing you. He's making you whole. He's establishing you, strengthening you, and settling you. We must pray to be established. We must pray to be established rather than escape our adversity. Sometimes we pray to escape. Maybe we should say, Lord, what are you doing? What are you allowing this in my life for? Lord, whatever it is, Lord, just establish me. Give me the courage to make it through it. Right? Instead of asking for freedom from it, I'm not saying that's wrong either. I'm just saying sometimes we ought to say, Lord, what are you trying to teach me through this? And God, establish me, encourage me, give me the grace I need, strengthen me, and settle me. Help me not to move. Help me not to move. Help me not to surrender. Help me to have courage. Again, the caterpillar doesn't fly until it has struggled. Until it has struggled. Psalm. Let's turn there and we'll be done. Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Think about this is a great psalm. This last time when I was reading through my Bible, I marked several of the verses that I like to memorize. I've got several memorized in this particular book. I encourage our youth, man, there's a good 20 verses that you ought to memorize in the Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. Why? That I might learn thy statutes. I don't know how many times when I've gone through difficulties that I've flown to the Bible and learned so much from the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 67. Verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. God's good. God's good all the time. God's good all the time. Lord, teach us in adversity. Help us to be better and not bitter. Lord, humble us. And we certainly want to be careful with that prayer. But Lord, in my humility, teach me what you have for me. And Lord, even if I don't know, even if I never find out why this is happening, Lord, establish me, strengthen me, settle me in the adversity. Give me the courage to go through it. That I might be a testimony to those around me. That I might be a testimony to those around me. Cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Lord, help my unbelief. Lord, help me to trust in you. More today than I did yesterday. Help me to trust in you. Let's all stand. Hymn 118, I need thee every hour. The benefits of adversity is growth. The benefit of adversity is more faith. The benefit of adversity is the ability to fight a bigger battle than the previous one. Our God is good. He cares for you. Lord, we thank you for faith. We thank you for grace. God, we thank you that in our adversity that you care. Lord, that you watching us and that in due time you'll take that adversity from us. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be patient in our trials and patient in our adversities. Lord, help us and encourage us tonight as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. Hymn 118, I need the